So translation and purpose by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The 23rd branch was Sri Harsha, the 24th Raghu Mishra, the 25th Lakshminath Pandit, the 26th Bhangavati Chaitanya Das, and the 27th Raghunath purport. Raghu Mishra is described in the Gaur Ganadesha Dipik 195 and 201 as Karpura Manjari. Similarly, Lakshminath Pandit is mentioned in Rasan Mada, and Bhangavati Chaitanya Das is mentioned as Kali. The Sakha Nirnaya states that Bhangavati Chaitanya Das was always seen with eyes full of tears. He also had a branch of descendants. Their names were Mathura Prasad, Rukmini Kanta, Jivan Krishna, Jugal Kishore, Ratana Krishna, Radha Madhav, Ushamani, Vaikunthanath, and Lala Mohan, or Lala Mohan Saha, Sankanidi. Lala Mohan was a great merchant in the city of Dhaka. The Gaur Ganadesha Dipika 194 and 200 mentions that Raghunath was formerly Barangada. So we'll read next text 87 as well. Hamukha Pandita Hasti Gopal Chaitanya Valabha Yadu Ganguliara Mangala Vaishnav. The 28th branch was Amogha Pandit, the 29th Hasti Gopal, the 30th Chaitanya Valab, the 31st Yadu Ganguli, and the 32nd Mangala Vaishnav. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhashya, Sri Mangala Vaishnav was a resident of the village Titakana in the district of Murshidabad. His forefathers were Shaktas, who worshipped the goddess Kiriteshwari. It is said that Mangala Vaishnav, formerly a staunch brahmachari, left home and later married the daughter of his disciple, Prananath Adhikari, in the village of Mayanadala. The descendants of this family are known as Thakuras of Kandada, which is a village in the district of Burdwan near Katwa. Scattered descendants of Mangala Vaishnava, 36 families altogether, still live there. Among the celebrated disciples of Mangala Thakur are Prananath Adhikari, Purushottam Chakravati of the village of Kandada, and Nrisingha Prasad Mitra, whose family members are well-known mridanga players. Sudha Krishna Mitra and Nikunja Bihari Mitra are both especially famous mridanga players. In the family of Purushottama Chakravati, there are famous persons like Kunja Bihari Chakravati and Radhavallabha Chakravati, who now live in the district of Birbhum. They professionally recite songs from Chaitanya Mangal. It is said that when Mangala Thakur was constructing a road from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, he found the deity of Radhavallabha while digging a lake. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Shri Gonyatai Kidai. At that time, he was living in the locality of Kandada in a village named Ranipur. The Shalagram Srila, personally worshipped by Mangal Thakur, still exists in a village of Kandada. A temple has been constructed there for the worship of Vrindavan Chandra. Mangal Thakur had three sons, Radhika Prasad, Gopi Raman, and Shyam Kishore. The descendants of these three sons are still living. End of the purport. So, these are the descriptions of the descendants of Gadadhar Pandit, Sri Gadadhar Pandit, and there are mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita of those of the names, but unfortunately, at least myself, I tried to research, get more information on those Vaishnavas, especially Mangal Vaishnav, to whom Prabhupada pretty much dedicates the entire purport, Last Vaishnava. But outside of what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, we don't have much information about them. And I even tried to contact one of the greatest experts in ISKCON on the lives of Vaishnavacharyas, and even he failed to help, so there is no information available on them. I guess the only information could be gathered if we go there to Kandada and familiarize ourselves with these families and find out more about these great personalities. But still, you know, we may ask ourselves, why do we have to even, like, you know, spend time mentioning these names? And the answer is given by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in the later verses, which are very important statements. And actually, he makes this statement more than once. He says at the end, simply by remembering the names of all these branches and sub-branches of the three trunks I have described, Nityananda, Advaita, and Gadadhar, one attains freedom from the entanglement of material existence. So, anyone's interested to become free from the entanglement of material existence? So, just by mentioning the names of these great Vaishnavas, we become liberated. So, this is how powerful they are. It says that even though the Supreme Lord is all powerful, but he makes Vaishnavas even more powerful than him. You know, one time Srila Prabhupada was saying that, you know, Mayavadis are trying to become God. So what is this nonsense? Trying to become God. Vaishnavas, they don't aim for such, you know, useless goals. Vaishnavas don't want to become God. Vaishnavas aim at becoming higher than God. Which we can see, like Mother Yashoda. You know, Krishna is running in fear of Mother Yashoda. Or, you know, coward boys, they wrestle with Krishna and they defeat Krishna. Or Krishna is so much worried about what Radharani will say or how she will respond to his behavior, right? So we can see that Vaishnavas are more powerful than the Supreme Lord himself. So this is the glorious position of Vaishnavas. Of course, it's Krishna's mercy, but this is how it is that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also mentions in his Madhuri Kadambini that even though the Supreme Lord, you know, gives freedom of choice to the conditioned souls, nevertheless, he gives the power of attorney to his representatives who are preaching his glories. And in this way, you know, preachers can make Krishna, make even those people who chose not to be Krishna conscious, to be Krishna conscious. So this is how powerful the devotees are. And so we're very fortunate to even have an opportunity to remember the names of these great personalities. And later, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, simply by remembering the names of all these Vaishnavas, one can attain the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, simply by remembering their holy names, one achieves the fulfillment of all desires. Not just freedom from material existence, but anything you want, any desire can be fulfilled just by remembering the names of these great personalities. For example, Narottam Das Thakur makes very similar statement in his song, in regards to the six Goswamis. Tandaracharana Seva, oh no. H.I. Gosai, what's that? Jayahoyte Viginas Abhistapuran was the first line. Yeah. H.I. Gosai Jabi Rajakoyla was. What's that? Huh? Anyway, it's you know, at least the second line says, the first line says that, you know, I'm worshipping these six Goswamis, and then, Jayahoyte Vignanash Abhistapuran, that by their mercy, all the obstacles are completely destroyed. Jayahoyte Vignanash Abhistapuran. So, this is the power of these great Vaishnavas, and therefore, whatever little information we have, we can contemplate on it for our own purification, for our own benefit. And, you know, just a few points, for example, mentioned about Mangal Vaishnav. He seems to be the most prominent of all the Vaishnavas mentioned. Even like very few points brought up by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati are very interesting. Little bit confusing, the first point, right? If anyone listened carefully, he was a staunch brahmachari and then he got married. And he had big family and a lot of kids. How this is possible? How staunch brahmachari can get married so easily? Right? Because staunch brahmacharis are not interested in these things. But we can find examples, other examples in Vedic literatures. In Bhagavatam, there is one very interesting example of very staunch brahmachari who got married. Anyone can remember? Huh? Yeah, Priyavrata Maharaj. This is how the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam begins, the first chapter mentions how Priyavrata Maharaj, he was such a great devotee, he had zero interest in anything material. And he had the best guru, not only on this planet. You know, sometimes when devotees, young devotees think, you know, whom shall I accept as my guru? And they think, oh, I want the best guru. Who is the best guru on this planet? I want to have that person as my guru. So Priyavrata Maharaj had the best guru, not only on this planet, but in the entire creation, Narad Muni. And he had the best father, Svayambhuva Manu, and he had the best grandfather, Lord Brahma. So he was really, really special person. And he had zero interest in anything material. And he decided, okay, I want to be brahmachari. I want to dedicate my whole life just to serve Radha Krishna, whoever, Lord Narayan, maybe Vishnu, whatever. I want to dedicate my whole life to devotional service. And Narada Muni encouraged him, yes, it's a very good idea. I'm brahmachari myself and I'm quite happy, so you be brahmachari also. But then Svayambhuva Manu became very perturbed, because he expected Priyavrata Maharaj to take over the responsibility for governing the whole planet. I mean, yeah, the whole world. But, you know, Priyavrata Maharaj was very determined. No, I want to be brahmachari. You sort it out yourself. It's none of my business. And then Svayambhuva Maharaj had to take help from his father, from Lord Brahma. And so Lord Brahma arrived on the scene, you know, and Priyavrata Maharaj is there, absorbed in meditation, and Narada Muni supporting him. Yes, he'll be brahmachari. But Lord Brahma is doing a bit of preaching, and he arrived with all the demigods and all the sages, and it was quite a scene. I mean, Lord Brahma's arrival. He's the head of our whole sampradaya. Can you imagine? And then he came and he said, you know, I understand all your, you know, understand your mentality that you want to be brahmachari, but you have to, you know, take responsibility because it's the plan of the Supreme Lord, so you have to follow. And Prayavrata Maharaj said, yes, okay. So he renounced renunciation, which is, of course, very exceptional case, which means, you know, giving up the spiritual sense gratification of not being involved in anything material, right? So he renounced that for the sake of pleasing his superiors. And it's very interesting, it's mentioned in this verse that Narad Muni, even though he supported, he encouraged Priyavrata Maharaj to be brahmachari, but when he heard Lord Brahma's desire that Priyavrata Maharaj should get married and take the responsibility, it says that Narad Muni had no resentments. No resentment, no grudge, no ill feeling. You know, so this is how great these personalities are. They are ready to accept the plan of the Supreme Lord, even though this plan might go against the grain, against their own desires. Even spiritual desires, right? That these great personalities have no material desires, but they are ready to sacrifice even their own spiritual desires for the sake of pleasing Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. And so we don't exactly know, we cannot say for sure what was the case of Mangala Vaishnav, why he was a staunch brahmachari and why he got married. But we can safely assume that there was a very, very serious reason for that, right? Because otherwise, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who was himself lifelong brahmachari, perfect, renunciate, he would not write about him that he was a staunch brahmachari, right? That if someone was brahmachari and then got married, you know, he can be good brahmachari, but staunch brahmacharis, they don't get married, right? But if he got married, there was a very serious, exceptional reason for that. And so we can understand that one way or the other, he was very exceptional personality. And just, you know, a little mentioning about, you know, his activities helps us to understand how special he is. For example, you know, just on the go, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati mentions that when Mangal Thakur was constructing a road from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, he found the deity of Radha Vallabha while digging a lake. So just from this one sentence, we can understand that first of all, he constructed a road all the way from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri. And it sounds, you know, simple. Okay, constructed the road. But I don't know if any of you know what did it cost, for example, to construct Dharam Mark here, right? It's a tiny little road comparatively, right? Just few hundred yards. But apparently, from what I know, devotees had to approach the family of multi-billionaires to help them do that, because it's not cheap and it takes a lot of effort to construct a road. I would safely assume, even though I'm not a specialist, that even like a square yard is costing probably, you know, at least £1,000 of the road. And so, you know, that's why only government can afford making roads, right? But it says that Mangal Vaishnav constructed the road all the way from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri. And what's the distance between Navadvip and Puri? Anyone has any idea? More than 700 kilometers road, can you imagine? So for that, he had to be either extremely wealthy man, extremely successful man, or have very powerful position in the government, one way or the other, because not only he was constructing the road, but he was also digging lakes on the way, right? And why he was doing that? Obviously, he was doing that for the sake of Vaishnavas. It was Vaishnava Seva to facilitate pilgrims to go because, you know, this route is the most popular. That as Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that Navadvip and Jagannath Puri, they're like two rooms in the same house, right? That people always go from Bengal to Orissa to visit Lord Jagannath, to get Lord Jagannath's darshan and go back all the time. It's the it's the most favorite pilgrimage place for probably the whole Bengal, right? Maharaj knows better. And so, just to facilitate Vaishnavas, apparently, he did that seva. And this was, you know, outstanding service. And so, we can understand how powerful, what kind of powerful personality he was, just to be able to do that. You know, these powers are coming because he and the other personalities mentioned here were connected to Sri Gadadhar Pandit. They were getting all his blessings. And we can understand, for example, from our own Srila Prabhupada. Actually, this is not so well known that Srila Prabhupada belongs to the lineage coming from Sri Udarandhata Thakur, who is one of the, you know, 12 Gopals, one of the, closest associates of Lord Nityananda, Udarandhata Thakur. And he held a ministerial position in the government as well. And Srila Prabhupada kind of mentions that on the go, when there is a mentioning about Udarandhata Thakur in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he kind of mentions, many people who moved to Calcutta later on, they belong to, you know, the descendants of Udarandhata Thakur, and so our family, because it was their family, it's also connected to Udarandhata Thakur, we also belong to that. You know, he kind of humbly mentions, I'm one amongst the many descendants of Udarandhata Thakur. But we can understand that he's not just one amongst many. Because Srila Prabhupada's position is so special that even his own godbrother, that's, by the way, really wonderful example of Vaishnava relationship, that, you know, one of his most powerful and most aristocratic and learned, probably the most aristocratic and learned godbrother, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he said that Srila Prabhupada is not just a preacher who achieved success. To achieve such a tremendous, astounding success, one has to be directly empowered by the Supreme Lord. That's why we can understand that Bhaktivedanta Swami belongs to the category of Shakti Avesh avatars of the Supreme Lord. So that's a serious statement. And we can understand that there were many descendants of Udarandhata Thakur, as well as there are many descendants of other great families, but not all of them took the advantage of that blessing, which comes from belonging to such high lineage. as we learn from the beginning of the chapter, even the, you know, direct sons of Advaita Acharya, not all of them became devotees, which is an interesting example which helps us to understand that, you know, opportunity can be there, but whether one is taking that great opportunity, one's taking that advantage or not, it remains a choice of an individual. But one feature of someone who is very, very serious about Krishna consciousness and spiritual life, say, like, if we take Srila Prabhupada's example, that we see that his greatness manifested in his unwavering determination, you know, to do something what he did after 70 years of age. One has to be determined, you know, like this, unbelievably determined. I mean, it's like we no die situation, right? That he was ready. He was ready that I'll better die trying than never try at all, right? To do what my guru wanted me to do. And so we know how many hardships Srila Prabhupada had to take. And so his determination is really mind-blowing. But there is another less noted feature of Srila Prabhupada's greatness, and that is his humility and real appreciation for, we can say, Vaishnava heritage. But if we read carefully Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we can see that he mentions in the purport, he is explaining to us in the purport who were those personalities, and mentions about the holy places, you know, explains about the holy places mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he was very, he greatly valued that heritage, Vaishnava heritage. Regardless of the circumstances, for example, we know from history that his own godbrothers, his own institution, didn't give him much support. Rather, they would try, and, you know, initially they didn't give him much support, and later on, they tried not only impede his work, but actually, you know, take his disciples away and preach against him, and they did so many bad things towards him. But the amazing thing was that regardless of all this, Srila Prabhupada was always open to work with his godbrothers. He would always keep his doors open to invite them to take part in the preaching. And he was very sorry for their condition, that they always, you know, in odds with each other. And he gave an instruction to Srila Jayapataka Maharaj, amongst other instructions. He said, I want you to reunite the family of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, spiritual family, Gaudiya Math. And this is what Maharaj is attempting to do for many years, and it gives some good results. And we can understand that Srila Prabhupada really valued every single devotee and all the heritage we have, and we know that there is also special fund, Bhaktivedanta Foundation. in Mayapur, which is involved in restoring all these holy places, places of pilgrimage. So that shows that Srila Prabhupada had great appreciation, and he greatly valued, you know, whatever work was done by the previous Vaishnavas and previous acharyas, and he wanted to restore it and preserve it for the future generations to come. So, and because of that mentality, also he got so much spiritual powers that he could do what he did. Because of that very deep humility and appreciation for the Vaishnava heritage. And lately I was listening to one of the of Prabhupada's classes given in Mayapur, and he was mentioning very interesting thing. He said, of all the planets, the Earth planet is the best. And on the Earth planet, of all the countries, India is the best country because it's completely spiritual country. And of all the places in India, of all the states in India, Bengal is the best state. And all of all the places in Bengal, Nadia district is the best. And of all the places in Nadia, Navadvip is the best. And all the places of in Navadvip, Mayapur is the best. And then he said, I'm not making it up. I'm just repeating what our predecessor Acharya Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes. And he read, you know, this quote where Srila Prabhupada says that. I mean, where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that. Jai Shishi Radha Kukulananda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai. And actually you can see what's happening on the planet, that, you know, the one of the greatest impacts in terms of introducing, you know, Vedic paradigm in the West was made by Swami Vivekananda, right? But along with introducing this paradigm, he also introduced impersonal and Mayavad understanding. And Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that he said a thorn can be taken out by the other thorn. So the damage one Bengali made to the world can be, you know, repaired only by another Bengali. You know, meaning himself, because Vivekananda was also Bengali. So somehow we can see that historically it is like that, that, you know, all the powerful preachers who made like global impact, somehow they all come from Bengal. And we can see that we have Bengali God, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? And we have, you know, and almost all his associates, with very few exceptions, are all Bengalis. And so we can understand that it is true that Bengal is really special place, and it, because it is producing very special people. Of course, not everyone in Bengal takes that advantage and, you know, takes up the devotional service, but we can see that Bengal is a very radical place. Like one senior Vaishnava mentions that in Bengal there is no middle class. You either like excellent, aristocratic, the best of all people, or the most degraded. Very extreme kind of people. But we can see that Bengalis have special power. And if they use these powers properly, they can do a lot of good. And all these great Vaishnavas glorified in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're all Bengalis. And so these were the ones who have taken full advantage of the opportunity given to them from birth, right? Because Bengalis from birth have two amazing advantages, which I haven't seen in anyone, right? First is that they are extremely resilient, extremely austere people. Unbelievably austere. Like even in Tirupati temple, one devotee shared that they wanted to make ladus to distribute to pilgrims in big numbers, you know, because people go to Balaji, they expect ladu from other temples as well. But to cook ladus takes a lot of effort, and they also make big ladus. And the local cooks, they cannot, you know, take so much pressure. And then what was the solution? Bring in Bengali cooks. Because in the heat of South Indian weather, they can stay in the kitchen, you know, next to the oven, like making all these ladus, for 10, 12 hours a day, and not to complain about anything. Just take it as normal. Or I've seen, you know, the other instance, the other extreme in, you know, Govindadvip, there was one Bengali pujari whom they brought to serve the deities. And there was no heating in that temple. It was freezing cold and damp cold as well. And, you know, in the middle of the winter, this boy was running bare feet on a marble floor just with the chadar over his shoulders. And Krishna Kshetra Maharaj, who used to be a deity minister, he came and he was shocked. He said, how can you tolerate? And, you know, doing these pujari services, because there was no other pujaris for 10, 12 hours a day, how can you, you know, bear that? And he just smiled. He said, oh, this is my tapovan. I'm performing austerities here. So only Bengalis have this amazing, you know, amazingly solid mind, which can take almost unlimited austerity and not to be disturbed at all. And second, huge advantage that Bengalis from birth have amazing service attitude. Prabhupada also mentions that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we are very fortunate to read about these great Vaishnavas and learn this culture and get their blessings and hopefully serve their lotus feet, continue their mission. Hare Krishna. So we still have little time left if anyone wants to share any comments or ask